There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This week on the Mike Wise Show, the first weekend of the NBA playoffs is in the books, and it featured some memorable performances. We're here to wade in with some thoughts, but first, don't lean to your thing.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
If the first eight games of the 2021 NBA playoffs are any indication, we're in for a wild ride this postseason. Bruce, from the return of large crowds to the exciting action on the court, there's a lot to unpack. God, it almost sounds like I wrote that or someone wrote it for me. Doesn't it?
It's beautifully written, if you ask me.
It is. It's stunning. All right, let's chop it up a little bit. My wingman producer, Bruce Bernstein, always chipping in.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Bruce. And I would argue that the podcast is, if Bill Simmons has shown us anything in this world, it's that podcasts with he and his loser friends are often more entertaining than anything with he and Magic or Bird. I think that there's some comfortability and there's some know-how. And so at any rate, look, I used to be the Knicks beat writer. I don't know if you knew this, back in the 90s. And then I covered the NBA column for many years for the New York Times. But that job was essentially, if the Knicks were going well, that was your job. You know, Howard Beck could tell you that too. And so you covered the Knicks a lot, and you always knew that you were going to be there, if not in June, in late May. Well, that hasn't been the case since 2013 at Madison Square Garden. That's 8 long years that franchise went without a playoff series. So essentially, except for, well, even during COVID days, because they weren't invited to the bubble, their seasons were done in April, you know. And I always used to say, what's orange and green and goes golfing in May? It was the Knicks. But yesterday, a classic, an heirloom, if I will. Or is that too much?
No, I think you're on a roll. Just keep it going.
Trae Young showed he belongs. Look, I didn't see anything but the highlights, but you before we even got on, you talked about a pass that Trae Young threw that was as seamless and as strong as anything LeBron or Steph Curry could do, finding Bogdanovich for an open three. And this is, you know, and they come back on the Knicks and they win 107-105 game one at Madison Square Garden. I don't think the Hawks win the thing, but I think they could go a couple rounds if they get by the Knicks. And you know what? I know you think two more series could go seven games. I think the Knicks-Hawks could go seven games.
Oh, it absolutely could go seven games. You know, it's a 4-5 matchup. Those, generally speaking, are amongst the most evenly matched, right? I think those teams had identical records during the regular season as well, although the Knicks dominated them in their regular season games. But Sunday was a different story. I mean, you talk about Trae Young. It had to be a surreal moment for him to be, you know, given the MSG crowd this, you know, at the end, when, because he said in the post-game interview with Ernie and Chuck and those guys on TNT, he said, yeah, they were talking ish to me and, you know, all that kind of stuff, some F-bombs, whatever. So it had to be sweet for him to do that. But he really, you know, the thing about Trae Young and that I think is so special, he seems like one of those guys who just has this 360-degree vision. He sees things that he shouldn't be able to see, particularly when it comes to guys trailing him, where he changes speeds just enough to get them to run into him. He gets the whistle. He goes to the line. He makes two. I don't even know who to compare that guy to, but he is special, Mike.
Yeah, I think, you know, a long time ago, and Bill Fitch, the late, great Bill Fitch, coach of the Celtics, I think won at least one of Larry Bird's titles for him, if not two.
First one, yeah.
And Bill Fitch, in an article in Sports Illustrated years ago, I was a kid, I was a teenager, I remember reading it. He called Larry Bird Kodak. And many of our younger listeners won't know this, but Kodak, you know, was the camera company, and they always, you know, and he said that he took pictures on the court like an Instamatic, and he went ka-chick, ka-chick, ka-chick. That's what taking photos used to sound and look like, and that's what Trae Young looked like he was taking pictures on the court. And here's this guy that has this tremendous peripheral vision, and like Bird, he almost knew what was happening behind him, without having eyes behind his head, but it felt like there was a sensory, like an old school sensory basketball thing going on that I think, you know, some young players now today have it. I think Luka Doncic has it too. When he steps into the lane, he waits for someone behind him to come and guard him before he decides whether he's going to pull up or get him to, you know, bait him into a 3-point play. I think Trae Young's got that. It's amazing to me. Like guys with that kind of court sense and awareness of that. It's one thing to have a great jump shot. It's one thing to go to the basket fearlessly. It's another thing to have that extra level of understanding of basketball and how it works at such a young age. And Trae Young's got it.
And he also doesn't seem to be afraid of a big moment. I mean, look, he went into the Garden on Sunday. There was 15,000 fans there. I mean, that's the most fans that have been in an NBA game in, you know, what, 16 months or whatever, 15 months. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'll get my 32, I'll get my 10, I'll get my 7. And they and walked only, out of there with a win.
And he's only, what, 160 pounds or something, dripping wet?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he looks
he's basically Allen Iverson without a posse. Yeah, I knew you'd giggle at that. And now we're going to get censured.
Are we allowed to say posse? I thought that was on the forbidden list of words.
Well, if it is, then you're going to edit it out. But bottom line is, Allen Iverson brought some young knuckleheads with him from Hampton Roads when he was younger. And, you know, some people thought they thought this was very admirable because he brought guys from the neighborhood that didn't never amounted to the heights that he did in his career. And other people thought, you know, why are you bringing people that are bringing you down along with you? So if we have to edit out posse, it's okay. We can call him his crew, if that's more palatable.
We're going to live on the edge, Mike. We're going to stick with posse.
All right, good.
We're going to live on, yeah.
Let's be honest. What other show is taking on race issues and is unafraid to speak about anything on this program? There's Jason Williams, the white chocolate Jason Williams, had a posse, unfortunately. So this isn't relegated to young black corn road NBA players. This can be anybody that brings their guys from the old neighborhood, and they're not doing so well, and they try to lift them up. Well, some of those guys get jobs and they become very like Maverick Carter, Rich Paul. They become a cocoon, a protective cocoon for the player. Other guys, you don't need them around. They're not bettering themselves. They're either not getting their business degrees or going to college or finding great jobs. They're waiting for you to give them money. If that's your crew, you need to get rid of them. And irrespective of whether you're a basketball player or not.
Well, a lot of the Euro guys, you know, have really made their mark on the league this year, but you know, they're never really going to be, you know, you can't really say they've arrived until I get a chance to see Nikola Jokic's posse. I want to see what that crew looks like.
Well, I mean, and look, I am not a xenophobe at all, but every European player that has a posse, they're all with the Russian underground and they're criminal terror. No, I'm kidding. You guys know I'm kidding. Everybody knows we're joking, kind of. The other LA team, the Clippers, were torched by Luka on Saturday at home. I know this is a lot about the Mavericks playing well. And I know that everybody's going to say that the Clippers are done and it's over. And Paul George, God bless him. You know, he seems like, what did I say? playoff Paul George is regular season Rondo, unfortunately. And we need to get away from that. If you're playoff Paul, if you're going to ever be playoff Paul George again, like you were with the Indiana Pacers, just freaking put your head down and go to the basket. Enough with the fadeaways. A fadeaway is something after you've already got 10 rebounds and you've got a 10-point lead and you feel in this incredible rhythm. That's when you do a step back and hit it in someone's face. You don't do it when you're down 10 and you need a bucket and you're struggling from the field. I don't get Paul George. And it's hard for me to say that because he is a Fresno State alumni. And I am a Fresno State alumni. And while we are at least 20 years apart in age, and I had no idea what was going on in Fresno when he was there, nonetheless, I root for former Bulldog.
Well, when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks, they always seem to be more than the sum of their parts. And I think a lot of it has to do with a guy that I know both of us really admire, and that's Rick Carlisle. He finds a way to get, you know, everything he can out of his guys. You know, as you said, Luka had a triple-double, torched him. And as from what I can recall, and again, I didn't look this up, but I'm working off my memory, I believe the Clippers now have a 4-game losing streak in the postseason to the Dallas Mavericks. I have to double check that, but they, you know, game two is a must win for the Clippers. There's just no two ways about it. If they lose game two, they're losing that series.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if Dallas is that mentally tough, but I like them. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. Jalen Brunson, you talk about players 6'2 and under in this league. Jalen Brunson, I mean, he's not Trae Young, but he's so indispensable for them. I mean, he's getting rebounds between these mounds of muscle and height that he has no business because his desire. He always makes the right basketball play. I love Jalen Brunson. I think I love Jalen Brunson more than I do KP, Kristaps Porzingis.
You know, Jalen Brunson is the son of a former NBA player, Rick Brunson, who played for the Knicks, I believe, and I think also played for Temple, for John Chaney back in the day. Yeah, well, so, you know, this guy, you know, Jalen Brunson's one of those guys that his hoop IQ is off the charts. And he's another guy who always seems to know exactly where he needs to be. As Greg Anthony told me one time about Chris Paul way, way, way back when, he said, he gets what gotta get got. And that's how Jalen Brunson is. He gets what gotta get got.
I like that from Greg Anthony.
Greg's pretty smart.
I still regret calling Rick Brunson a knucklehead when he was on the Knicks. He and Camby and Marcus Camby and Latrell Sprewell were kind of club buddies. Now, it turned out that you can go to the club and take a team to the NBA Finals because Camby and Sprewell did in 99. But nonetheless, I think I did a mea culpa. And Rick Brunson obviously helped coach and turn his son into something special. Here's a couple things burning for me. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he's the future of the NBA in terms of being an ambassador. And talk about a stretch five, and he can play inside. I just don't know if he's NBA title material with the way he cannot make shots down the stretch, including free throws. I mean, he almost let Miami back into that game single-handedly by missing a bunch of free throws down the stretch. It was pathetic.
You know, a lot of bigs have trouble at the free throw line, and you know, maybe Giannis, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe there's something missing there. I mean, look, I think any team in the league would love to have Giannis. It's not like, you know, Giannis is a stiff or anything. He's a tremendous player. But yeah, I mean, some guys, you know, they may be really great regular season guys, but when it's nut cutting time in the playoffs, you know, they get a little bit tight.
You say nut cutting time?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really going.
We'll have to edit that show.
This show is.
Kristen Woolley's going to have her hands full with this one this week. Apparently,
yeah, you've got misogyny, possible racism, xenophobia. We've checked all the boxes
Where was the misogyny?
I don't know. It's going to come up. Okay. Though. It's you're right.
We'll get it in at some point. Now that you mentioned,
you're right. Brooklyn shouldn't have too many problems with Boston, and I think that's a sweep. Your Celtics might go five. I think the biggest thing is, it's funny, and this is another thing I'm kind of burning on, is these referendums that come after the first weekend of the playoffs. Like, I'm going to tell you some things that people are talking about today, and I'd like you to answer them. The Lakers are dead in the water and will never win another title with that lazy bum Anthony Davis. Your False. Response?
False.
False. Okay. I agree. I think it's a one-game referendum. I think AD is coming back from injury still. I think he'll be fine. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers win that series. I really wouldn't. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Phoenix would. They're clearly – they feel like everybody's thought of them as an afterthought already. And, oh, poor Suns. They got the Lakers in the first round. They already won game one, and they look good doing so. I don't – but I still don't buy the Lakers are done. Tell me, when the Lakers are 3-1 and there's 2 minutes left and the Suns are up by 15, then I'll say they're done. I cannot bury LeBron James until the stake is in his heart. And the stake is a long way from his heart, down 1-0. That's one of my absolutes. The other one is the Brooklyn Nets are going to be the NBA champion because James Harden is the most unselfish player in NBA history. Kyrie Irving is not weird. He's just misunderstood. And Kevin Durant is the most secure and happy earthling there is. And you will never see another burner account on Twitter from him. Steve Kerr will become essentially, Steve Nash will morph into Steve Kerr. And the Nets will be the next dynasty in the NBA. True or false?
False. I mean, look. Brooklyn is going to have very little trouble with Boston, even before Jaylen Brown went down. They were rusty in the first half. They were down, you know, they couldn't throw it in the ocean from three-point land. And they still ended up winning that game, I think, by 11 points, kind of going away at the end. If Tatum has like another 50 burger in him, Boston could get one game. They won't get more than one. That's going to be a gentleman's sweep, if not an actual sweep. And Harden, look, you know, I mean, James gets a bad rap. I've ripped him in the past. I haven't always enjoyed watching him play, but I think I like watching him play more with the team he's on now than with his previous team, Houston, because on that team, to me, it was almost like, even when Russ was there with him, to me, it was like, it seemed like it was all about James. But I think this year, James kind of understands he's got two guys next to him that are as good or maybe even better in KD's case than him. And I think I'm very impressed with how James Harden has contributed to their success this year. And again, it's coming from a guy who hasn't always been a big fan of his, but you got to give the credit where it's due. Mike, look, I mean,
No, I'm with you. If the Nets wind up in the top, championship series, or the Sixers, or the Bucks, not so much, but the Sixers or the Nets, you're good as far as Adam Silver and the network partners go. I think that's, you almost guarantee a good reading. You have a lot of star power there. I hope they get there, but it's still, let's see them go through two playoff rounds together before we decide that they're a very special team and they've got all the makings for a title in this first year. If they just dust through the first two player, maybe, but I who knows? All right. The other thing that I was thinking of, Damian Lillard, known as Dame Dalla, made the Nuggets his biatch. I like Damian Lillard. He's just he finds ways to get that deep bomb off like I've never seen anybody. And while Jokic had a pretty good game, Porter was so at times. He was also spectacular. I thought the Nuggets brought it at times, and Portland just said, "Hold on, we got something here."
You know, since Jamal Murray went down with that injury, Denver seemed to be okay. You know, they were doing well, and Jokic, of course, was leading the way. But I felt I felt this was a seven game series going in because Portland's backcourt. I mean, Lillard and CJ McCollum, I mean, they combined for, you know, like 55, 57 on Sunday. And I think that is Denver's Achilles heel, is trying to, you know, check those guys and make them play defense. You know, you can't tire out a guy, you know, you can't tire those guys out if they don't have to guard anybody. And, you know, I think that one's going seven. I think Nurkic, you know, has enough, can compete against Jokic. Jokic is obviously a better player, but Nurkic is, you know, close enough to give him some problems. So, yeah, I mean, I see that one going seven. I have no idea who's going to win. I just think it's going seven.
Okay. My other absolute this weekend, LeBron James was caught violating protocol, COVID protocol, by attending a mass of people gathering for a promotional. This is my take on that. LeBron and Charles Barkley was cracking up over this. It made a lot of headlines over the weekend. LeBron would not get suspended for a playoff game. Adam Silver would not suspend him, even if it was found that he created the virus in a Wuhan laboratory during a Nike promotional in Beijing. He still would not get suspended because it's frickin' LeBron James. Do you agree with this?
Yes, the usual rules don't apply. And how nervous do you think the league office was when the Lakers had to actually play their way in to the playoffs? I mean, though you knew that they were not going to go 0-2, so they were going to get in either as the 7 or the 8. But it's like, I mean, you know.
Hey, all I know is this. Yes. All I know is this. Steph Curry is must-see TV. And the Warriors were turning into a fun team to watch. In fact, they were going back to that little team that could pre-Durant when you rooted for them. And they weren't the Death Star. They weren't the star chamber quorum of guys that just decided to play together. All of a sudden, it was Steph Curry and the others. And so I was like, this is a fun. Any mention of conspiracy and officials in the NBA needs to stop. Because Memphis beat them pretty handily and actually got some calls down the stretch there that you would think Steph Curry would have gotten. The bottom line is there is no conspiracy. The Memphis Grizzlies, with all intents and purposes, could go to the Western Conference Finals. It'll be a nightmare for any network because no one's going to watch. I think they should because I love Ja Morant. I love that team of sort of castaways and young kids that just find a way to find, you know, almost play with a chip on their shoulder that Mike Conley used to have when he played there. And so I like that team a lot, but it took away any notion that the league is somehow in the tank. I mean, do they want LeBron and the Lakers and the Nets to play for the title? And would that just be LeBron now has to face the star chamber team? That would be tremendous. That would be Cleveland and Golden State, the year that the Cleveland Cavaliers won in many ways. Although, shoot, LeBron had a lot of good players then too. But the bottom line is that is not, I mean, if it happens that it ends up being Milwaukee and Memphis. Milwaukee and Memphis will be the lowest rated finals in the history of the NBA. Nonetheless, it'll probably be some good basketball. And America will miss it because if you don't like the Greek Freak if you don't know the other players around them, like Middleton, who hit an unbelievable shot and played very well in the game one victory over Miami. I don't know what to tell you, man, but I don't know. So that's my final referendum thought.
Ja Morant, when I watch Ja Morant play, okay, there's an energy, an energy that kind of radiates off of that guy. It's almost like he crackles with electricity when he's out on the court. Because, you know, talk about a guy who can change speeds like and go from here to here. And it's like, how do you do that? And I always wanted, you know, the Beach Boys to do a remake of Barbara Ann. And have it be Ja Morant.
Hold on. You got something there. Ja Morant. Take my hand. Ja Morant. You got me balling in. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. We got this could work.
Rock and roll, baby.
All right.
Who said this podcast can't cross over?
Yeah. Yeah. Two old white guys doing the 50s. Ooh. It's just pathetic. All right. We got to go. It's a short week. Kristen Woolley's probably already freaking out over the content that she's going to have to edit. And nonetheless, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah. Just this one. Okay. Many of us were feeling very bad for Phoenix. That as a number two seed with a 51 win season, they got a raw deal. They had to play the defending champion Lakers in the first round. Oh, what a nightmare. But what we didn't understand is that the other side of that coin was the Lakers have to play a 51 win team in their first round because they were down in the seventh spot because of injuries. They would have never had to play a team of Phoenix's quality in the first round, but now they do, and they find themselves in a fight. I still believe the Lakers are going to find a way, but you know what? One of the greatest moments of the weekend was yesterday. I'm not sure if you were watching this. When the Lakers were coming back on Phoenix in the fourth quarter, Monty calls a timeout, and they had like one of those wired things, you know, where they had him mic'd up, and they played it out of the break. And basically Monty said this, he said, guys, we were built for this. This is our time. I don't want to get to July and wonder what if. This is ours to take. Let's go get it. And I thought to myself, I would run through a wall for a coach that said that to me. And I was just so, that was one of the best like little wired clips that I think I've ever seen. So kudos to the producers in the truck on that one.
Well, kudos to Monty Williams, who obviously was named the NBA Coach of the Year and now is in a position to knock off the defending champions. One game up, who knows, by the time this comes out, could be two games up. I root for either one because, you know, you can't, I love Devin Booker. I love watching him. I love the maturation and development of that team. But I also look at it like LeBron has maybe two or three more years, if that, to win it all. And if you're really going to be in the Michael discussion permanently, you need at least one more title. That's my God.
And AD better show up for game two because DeAndre ate his lunch, took his lunch money, and sent him on his way on Sunday. So if AD has another game like that, the Lakers really, they got a problem.
That was a beatdown like this show's download numbers beats down the other Pure Hoops media competition in many ways.
Oh, it's not even close.
The funny thing is Monica McNutt and neither Eric Newman nor BJ Armstrong is even listening to know that. So this is good.
I'll tell
both of us.
I'll let him know. I'll talk some junk to him, Mike.
Thank you, Bruce Bernstein. We'll be back again next week with either a famous guest or Bruce Bernstein. Either way, you're freaking listening.
Either way, you're screwed.
That was dope.
So the first 2 days of the playoffs are in the books. Bruce Bernstein, thanks for joining me. Now hit us with the promos.
Thank you, Mike. And thanks also to our incredible editor, Kristen Woolley. Please check out all of our Pure Hoops media shows. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin is here every Wednesday. And their guest this week is going to be Jovan Buha of The Athletic. And he's all over the Lakers situation for The Athletic. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure drops on Thursday. BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman have the Pure Hoops podcast each Friday. And of course, we have a new Mike Wise show every Monday. And if you'd like to hear some great selected choice discussions from all of our shows, subscribe to the Pure Hoops Media Quick Hitters. And we have many great video segments on our YouTube channel. So go to YouTube and search for Pure Hoops Media, Mike.
Yep, Jenks. Yet another sponsor has joined the Pure Hoops Media family this week, Bruce.
Who we got?
That's right. Joining Gravedigger and Monster Truck Spectacular, Rug Doctor, Steamin' Matted Dirt, and Oscar Mayer Wieners, we've got the NBA Barbershop Quartet, a group of young men changing up lyrics on popular songs to fit your new school players, like this one, for example. Ja Morant. Use your offhand, Ja Morant. You got Memphis running and a gun and rejecting and deflecting Ja Morant. Ja Morant. Went to the playoffs looking for Valanciunas. Saw Ja Morant, so I thought he'd do a shot fake with Ja Morant. Ja Morant. Use that offhand, Ja Morant.
All right. You can't get that out of your head now, can you?
I really can't. And yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Very. Yeah, it is. On for many different reasons.
You know, Kevin really Love's uncle was in the Beach Boys, right?
Yeah, Mike, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and he's got some really good musical talents as well.
So they say.
Speaking of Kevin Love, Mike needs to share the love. Now that COVID-19 vaccinations are widely available, get one. They say that masks are not necessary if you are vaccinated, but if you are one of the fools who hasn't gotten one, wear the mask in public to protect yourselves and others. Keep your guard up and be smart. Until next time, peace.
Aloha.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.